spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes the Spider-Man. Is he strong?
Hello, you are listening to On The Topic Podcast, the home of barking seagulls, budding black cat sidekicks, and oh, the coldest, briniest Vault 101. I'm Dan.
I'm all those things and above. And this week I have got my web slings back on. I'm Alex. And before we get into the episode, Dan, I know we talked a little bit off air, but what have you been up to?
Since we last recorded, which feels like a lifetime ago, actually, Alex. I've been to Ireland now. We saw the extended family. But pop culture wise, me and Claire have been watching the old Spider-Man film for a very good reason, of course, for research purposes.
Of course.
So that's been good fun.
Have they aged well, Dan? Because I think some of them, from my recollection, probably haven't, and that even includes Garfield's. But that's only my. I haven't seen, I think, any of the five films recently. Any that you thought, yeah, that is proper rubbish, or any that you think, well, are they all half decent?
I don't know. It's questionable. The graphics in Spider-Man 1. Sort of talking about the very first one, 2002. It's not that great. But Spider-Man 2 still sort of holds up very well with Doc Ock. Mm-hmm. Spider-Man 3 is still absolutely dreadful.
Yes.
Topher Grace as Venom. Sorry, oh, pal.
Jesus.
Get in the seat. Although Bryce Dallas Howard as Gwen Stacy in Spider-Man 3.
I remember the character, but I don't remember Bryce Dallas Howard being in it. But then... I guess you wouldn't because, I mean, no offense to her, now she's a household name, but before she wasn't really, was she? What?
No.
15, 20 years ago?
No. So, I mean, when was Spider-Man 3 released? 2007, I want to say?
Yeah.
It's been a while. So, yeah, I mean, she's probably more well-known now because of Jurassic World 1 and 2, and, of course, next year's Jurassic World 3.
Dominion.
I haven't seen Amazing Spider-Man 2 yet, but I still remember that being really bad. And, well, Amazing Spider-Man 1, the lizard's just poor, really.
Yeah. I seem to remember the CGI. Most of the film, actually, the lizard was actually... They tried to take, I guess, a leaf out of horror films or, like, Jurassic Park, right? So you don't really see it until the end. But I think they did that because the lizards didn't look great. Because he looked... with a human face, didn't he? He looked very odd. And in the 90s kids show, and also in the comics, he's like got an elongated snout, actually like a crocodile. But in this one, it's almost a bit like a Voldemort, isn't it? He looks very odd. So, I think most of the film ends up, you know, being in smoke or the darkness, and then coming out at the very end. And yeah, it didn't look good then. So I'm pretty sure it doesn't look good now.
Talking of horror, though, Alex, there's a fantastic moment in Spider-Man 2 where Doc Ock's on the surgery table and they're about to remove the tentacles. And it's absolutely horrific. You know, these tentacles come to life. It's taken out all the surgeons and, like, smashed them against the wall. It's terrifying. Like, I genuinely forgot about that moment. And seeing that again, I can't remember the last time I saw Spider-Man 2. I'll be truthful. It's been a long time. I thought, Jesus, that's pretty horrific.
Yeah, there's some real artistic, thrillery type elements in that. And that's why I think, you know, that's one of the best Spider-Man films. I still say it is to this day, because it had all of the good bits, some rubbish bits, but actually it's mainly good, Dan, wasn't it? I mean, we'll talk about him in a second, of course, but who's the actor who plays the Doc Ock again?
Oh, Alfred Molina.
Yes, it. Brilliant. Fantastic actor. Nailed it in terms of casting. He's got kind of the sinister, I know who you are, you're no one, kind of, almost a bit like the Vulture, right, in the latest situation of Spider-Man. With Tom Holland, you know, where it was I know who you are in the car. In the car, that was one of the greatest scenes of that film, because... you know, Peter's like, oh, you know, I know who you are, but I should be okay. And then just suddenly the penny drops and the tension is building. And I think we even talked about this in the review. You can cut the tension with a knife. It's very palpable. It's almost the same in Spider-Man 2, right? And Alfred Molina does a very, very good job of understanding the character and portraying it on the silver screen. And I think it still is one of the best Spider-Man films. And I'm very pleased, very pleased that he's reprising his role. To whatever extent he ends up being, it's still nice that he's in this version.
Yeah, for sure. TV-wise, I've been watching Vigil on BBC One. It's only just started. So two episodes in, I think it's a series of six episodes. It's a murder mystery on a submarine. Some great casting in there, Alex.
Ah, I've seen the BBC, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great I've casting.
Seen this, yeah.
Got Martin Compton from Line of Duty, Rose Leslie from Game of Thrones, and Connor Swindles from Sex Education.
Yeah,
it's good. I don't want to sort of give too much away, but it's definitely one worth checking out. And of course, it's September, Alex, so all the good stuff is happening in September.
Yeah.
So we've got Sex Education Series 3 coming soon.
5 days or 6 days from the day of recording.
Yeah. The sixth and final season of Lucifer is on Netflix this month. And of course... one of my most anticipated of 2021, Angels and Airwaves album comes out on the 24th. So I'm bloody buzzing.
Good month. It's a good month for Dan.
So enough about me, Alex. What about you?
Came back from our holidays up north in York. It was beautiful. Lots of downtime. Wonderful. Lots of visits to the woods, Dan.
Ooh.
Not because, you know, we're murderers ourselves, but just, you know, to get out in the fresh air. Try and eat cows, much as we can in British weather, which is slowly dwindling as we speak. I've taken up running, Dan. I'm doing the Couch to 5K, which pains me to say out loud because I've never run a day in my life, but here we are. This day has happened because 18 months of lockdown has given me a dad bod and I've got to do something about it. So not to say a bad thing, just a fact there. But yeah, I've been raiding the old streaming services as you have, Dan. Rewatching a couple of the old Marvel films. Started to watch again Black Panther. It's a great one. So I'm enjoying a bit of Chadwick Boseman.
Mm.
And interested to see obviously how that one shapes up. I think it's next year, isn't it?
Yeah.
To see how they weave that one in. I've been watching Nine Perfect Strangers on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
Now this one's a bit of a curveball because a lot of people go, Alex, why are you watching that? That's not something you watch. And true enough, it's not. And I can't really put my finger on, Dan, why I like it. But I do. And the premise is that, well, as it explains, there's nine strangers who've been pulled together to a health retreat in America. They've been carefully selected by this special... I guess counselor, you could call her, or overseer of this site, and it's Tranquility. It's Tranquil, it's called, and you know it's a lovely 5-star, 6-star resort, swimming pools, palm trees, very nice looking and healthy food, all that crap. But then things start to go a little bit odd. Now again, I don't want to spoil too much for listeners who perhaps are picking it up, or Dan, you might want to watch it. I don't know, but not everything's as it seems. I can't quite put my finger on a tone because there's some dark humour in it, some black comedy, and there's some quite serious overtones. But anyway, each of the strangers have a backstory as to why they're compelled to go to this retreat. It starts with Nicole Kidman as the overseer. She's brilliant. I don't want to be disrespectful. She does look a little bit odd because she's had a little bit of work done, as a lot of people have in Hollywood. I think she's gone a little bit too far. But all things aside, if you can get a look past that, I think it actually adds to the character. But she's brilliant. So Nicole Kidman's in it. Who else there? Melissa McCarthy. She's the comedian. She's, I think, in Bridesmaids, and I think she was either in... the Ghostbusters reboot, the all-female cast, which we're not fans of. I think she was in that. You got Luke Evans. Who else? Anyone else you might know? Michael Shannon, he's been in a couple of bits. Mm. Bobby Cannavale. And Regina Hall, she's been in some comedy. So it's probably, along with Nicole Kidman, probably a B-list, C-list setup. But actually, all expenses have been put into this, and actually does look pretty good. So if you have your change, you're not quite sure you're watching, but you think you want to watch it from week to week, go watch Nine Perfect Strangers on Amazon Prime. I think it's worth a watch, but I can't tell you why, Dan. And that's what really bothers me.
Hmm.
I'm still here 4 episodes in.
Well, I might have to check it out. I'll jump on it. I do need something new to watch sort of in and around the week. Because at the moment, as I say, it's just Vigil and Marvel's What If.
Which is good.
It is very good.
And we'll be doing, a season review, won't we?
Yeah. We'll probably maybe just like a breakdown of favourite moments and stuff. But, you know, get in touch. We'll put our contact details at the end. Just let us know if there's any sort of standout moments for you or a favourite episode.
There's going to be plenty, I'm sure.
Yeah. But what are we talking about this week, Alex?
Well, a little tease trailer, came out just last week. So we've had time to reflect, time to geek out, as we usually do. It's Spider-Man No Way Home, Dan, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
I think it's fair to say, and we did talk about this recently, there's a good reason why Feige and his cronies decided to hold on to the sweet, sweet goodness of this trailer. Because sure enough, it let an awful lot out of the bag and a lot of people would lose their minds. So I think that'd be to the detriment of Shang-Chi. Now, Shang-Chi's out in a mere couple of days of recording. And I think it will be somewhat overshadowed, but you can't not release something 3 months away from when it goes into the cinema. So it's about time. I think it's fair to say, Dan, it really has kicked off, along with all of the streaming services, Phase 4, in spectacular fashion then.
Yeah, and I think they had to release something because it leaked the day before, if I recall.
Yeah.
And it was a recording of someone's phone playing the trailer. I just thought, why would you want to watch that? Like, surely you'd wait for this like high quality version to hit YouTube. But, each to their own. It wasn't for me. I waited. It was worth it.
Same, yeah.
But, I mean, this trailer actually opens up with Pete and MJ on the roof. MJ's reading a little newspaper and, Pete's reluctant. He doesn't want to go back down to the normal world. He just wants to stay there, being the spider master, was it? Was it the MJ called him?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't blame him. You know, he's a wanted man after Far From Home.
Yeah, where if you cast our minds back, Mysterio effectively outed him to the whole world, didn't he, via the Daily Bugle?
Yeah.
And J. Jonah Jameson, which is quite nice for him to reprise his role into the MCU, or back into the MCU from the previous Raimi film. So, yeah, he's not in a good place at the beginning of this, Dan, is he?
No. And then we cut to a scene of him being... He's handcuffed to a table. He's in custody. He's being quizzed. And then... Out of nowhere, Alex, there's a mysterious person slamming down some files. Lots of paperwork. Now, there is a theory running around the internet. And of course, we don't see this mysterious person's face. Now, some are saying it could be Charlie Cox as Matt Murdock. It could just be someone as Matt Murdock. If you're familiar with your Marvel characters, we're talking about Daredevil.
Indeed, yeah. And, it would make absolute sense for the MCU to do the jump from the TV shows, the Netflix, Marvel Netflix team up to the film. They haven't done it so far. Oh, well, they've gone the other way around. They've gone the films to TV, of course, with the WandaVision and the rest of it, but they haven't gone the other way around, TV to film. And everyone, including us, I think it's fair to say, Dan, are massive fans of Charlie Cox and his version of Daredevil.
Yeah, fantastic.
The 3 seasons were phenomenal. And it was a shame. I think all of the actors involved in that franchise were saddened that it ran its course. They wanted to do a season 4, and as we all did. So I think, personally, Dan, I want it to be. I think it's wishful thinking. But who's to say they haven't actually done it? All they've got to do is just... 2 minutes of Charlie's time, do a bit of recording. He doesn't have to be in there very long. I've got a trade actually in the background whilst we're talking. And yes, sure enough, he does slam it on the table. I don't know. I'm hopeful, but I think it'd be a bit much.
Yeah. Sure. There are some moments where you got Pete talking to MJ over FaceTime on their phones. And then it sort of cuts them sort of walking through crowds, and then they're on a bridge surrounded by helicopters. So it's a bit choppy, isn't it? I mean, the start of this trailer.
Yeah, and as with all the trailers, I pretty much assume that everything we're seeing isn't in chronological order. But there's a good reason, I'm sure, why you've got MJ and Pete at the top of a bridge. So something obviously goes down, he needs to rescue her, and perhaps we're seeing something happen in terms of the Sinister Six. Where, because they know his identity and they know who MJ is now, perhaps they've gone after her. And of course, we'll talk about that theory or what we're seeing in just a little bit. But yeah, I think the scenes are out of chronological order.
Definitely. And they're also sort of edited in a way where, you know, they might not want us to see something specific until, you know, we get to the cinema. One example would be the Civil War trailer, you know, when they're all running towards each other.
Mm.
I remember initially the Spider-Man had actually been CGI'd out. We didn't see him till sort of very later on in one of the last trailers where he came in, took the shield. We were like, whoa, Spider-Man's going to be in this.
And the Infinity War as well, you know, with the Hulk running towards you, the viewer, at the end of the trailer. As we know, the Hulk wasn't in it.
Yeah. We also get some moments where I suppose it's always been sort of slowed down, sort of slow-mo of them walking through the school. Lots of kids with their mobile phones taking pictures. And again, we see Ned and Aunt May and what looks like custody. They're being questioned. Why are you friends with this guy? Well, Aunt May hasn't got a choice. She's blood related.
And of course, we mustn't forget that he's being framed for murder. So it would stand to reason that he's going through the judicial system, and they could be accessories to a crime. So yeah, stands to reason they're probably being investigated at this point, then.
Yeah, there's a great moment as well where I think he must be in a bedroom, and he looks at some fairy lights. It's like a light bulb moment, and then he decides to take a visit to our boy Doctor Strange.
Yeah, a very snowy Sanctum Sanctorum, isn't it?
Yeah, it looks a bit cold. He's got like a puffer jacket on. The cloak's around him. Very unusual look for Doc. And of course, he sort of enters with the phrase, "To what do I owe this pleasure?" And it's always a little bit awkward, isn't it? It's like, "I need your help, sir." And Doctor Strange is like, "I think like we're beyond this point now. You know, we've saved half of the universe together."
Mm.
"Okay, Stephen." That's a little bit weird. I'll allow it. And then there's like more scenes of crowds around Spider-Man and, you know, sort of running through a school unmasked and what looks like a black and gold suit, Alex, which I think has been teased through toys and pop figures and God knows what.
Yeah, they're thinking or suggesting it's Strange's enchanted suit, for want of a better term. So it's imbued, embalmed, whatever you want to call it, with the powers of the mystic arts. So there's a central disc where the Iron Man arc reactor would be, something like that. And it's designed to protect him against, temporal effects or time travel or the multiverse. Now, whether or not that is what we're seeing or whether it's an iteration of the black suit, I've got a theory I can touch upon in a bit. But he's wearing something that isn't the Spider Monkey suit, that's for sure.
No. Then we sort of cut to Wong. He's telling Doctor Strange, you know, don't cast that spell. But you know, here we are. We see him casting that spell and Pete's in the middle and he's trying to wrestle with that idea of, you know, his loved ones that he's trusted this knowledge with, like Ned, MJ and Aunt May, not knowing. And then, well, it just goes batshit crazy. You know, the spell goes wrong and we get loads of flashes, lots of zoomy rainbow colors and stuff. And then it's like, uh-oh, we've opened the multiverse.
Yeah, everything has been shattered and everything is possible. So much possible, in fact, Dan, that we start to get flashes of destruction and familiar sounds and scenes, don't we?
Yeah. There's a strange scene, actually, sort of very Doctor Strange-esque, where you can see Peter diving into what looks like New York City. It's all sort of being sucked up into a hole.
Mm. Yeah, it's all folding in itself, a bit like Inception, as you say, from the first Strange film, where the buildings are coming in at right angles and folding in.
But we do see some glimpses of, you know, our potential villains. There's some, what looks like yellow lightning and lots of dust or sand swirling around, would you say?
Yeah, I think, I mean, no one's questioning this. Perhaps everyone's on the wrong line of inquiry, but I think it's pretty safe to say that we're probably seeing the Amazing Spider-Man's version of Electro.
Yeah.
We are probably also seeing Spider-Man's version of Sandman from Spider-Man 3, the ill-fated Spider-Man 3. Most definitely.
Then there's a strange clip of the astral projection of Strange pushing Pete out of his body. Now, if you look, Peter's hand is in a box. We're not too sure what this box could be. But, I mean, this isn't the first time we've seen astral projections. We've seen the Ancient One pushing Stephen out of his body. And then, of course, in Endgame, she does it to Bruce Banner in the Hulk body as well.
Indeed.
Poor old John Favs. Looks like he's in trouble.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting that he's... it'd be odd if he wasn't returning for this film, given how big a role he had in the last one. But how much of an influence he has and whether he survives this is another question. You've got to have some high stakes, and he might be the one that ends up not making out of this one, Dan.
Yeah, we haven't really seen anyone snuff it for a while. Not any big characters, really, since Endgame.
Not in a meaningful way. And I think Happy would be perhaps one which will get people in the feels, but whilst... And no offence to Jon Favreau or the character, but you probably wouldn't miss so much.
Yeah, agreed. Talking about deaths, Alex, just want to go back to the previous Spider-Man film. Is it me, or does that version, the Sony Peter Parkers, they all inadvertently kill someone? They kill so many people. It's ridiculous.
Their kill count is quite phenomenal. And they always tend to lose someone close to them in a rather hideous way.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of deaths. I mean, I know it happens in the comics, but not that frequently, surely.
He's unlucky, what can we say?
Yeah, I don't know. I digress.
Mm.
There's also a shot where it's quite dark and people think it might be the lizard popping up. I can't really tell. It's very dark.
There is something monstrous, and I'm probably... It's one of two things for me. I think it's a lizard, but then I hope that they're not going to use the same poor CGI facial mapping as they obviously did, as we spoke about in The Amazing Spider-Man. But if they did, that would be a good reason why it's that character, because they then don't have to then embarrassingly use that poor CGI, which, of course, you know, several years later has come leaps and bounds. But then they don't have to reinvent it, because obviously it looks odd, because you wouldn't reinvent Doc Ock for this. They clearly haven't with Alfred Molina. So you wouldn't do it if you're going to bring the lizard in from The Amazing Spider-Man. It just wouldn't make sense. It would look better, but it wouldn't make sense, because you wouldn't all know and go, oh yeah, that doesn't belong in this universe. So I suspect it probably is, and they're going to do the voice. And they're going to do flashes, almost like they did in the film, because it's appalling and it's not very good. CGI. Alternatively, it could be someone like the Rhino.
Oh, yeah, good shout.
But I think I'm probably going to go with the monster angle, personally.
Yeah. I know a lot of people have sort of questioned it could be Venom, but I just find that a bit too much of a stretch.
Too soon. I reckon they might do post-credits Venom. because if you're shattering the universe, and if everything that we think this is the case, I think this is when you'll have Tom Hardy probably having a flash, or not in a creepy way, but he'll flash up or he'll be party to it. Because I don't think he operates in the same world as the MCU. I don't recall there being cross-pollination. So I reckon that's what they'll do. I think it'd be a bit much to show their hand all the way through this film. I think there's a lot going on.
Yeah, more Yellow Lightning, which again, we sort of theorise it has to be Electro. Well, we already know that Jamie Foxx.
Who I know he's been much maligned for doing that. I didn't mind him as Electro the baddie. I didn't like him as the tongue-in-cheek, goofy electrical engineer. I thought that was too stagecrafty, bit too kind of... I don't know, it was... I don't think it was the delivery. I think it was the writing, because Jamie Foxx can act, and I've seen him in many films, actually, in a number of different roles, and you know he's a great acting talent. But I just didn't like the origins. Once he was Electro, I got it, and I think it worked for me personally. I know that's probably an unpopular opinion, and we don't shy away from those on this podcast, of course, as we know, but I get it as him being the villain. So yeah. I don't think it's a bad thing that he'll be back in here. And as you say, it was confirmed quite a few months ago. Actually, I think it was the first confirmation we first heard about Spider-Man 3 being written. So, yeah, it's I'm looking forward to him, personally.
I'm just glad he's not blue. That's all I'm saying. Because that was dreadful.
Yeah, that wasn't too good.
Also a great moment where we see one of the goblin bombs roll across the bridge and blow up some cars.
Indeed.
And we get some goblin laughs. I'm pretty sure that Willem Dafoe has been confirmed to reprise his role as the goblin.
Yeah. Which is the best version, let's face it.
And I think we get one of your favourite gifts, because I think you've sent me it about 10 times on WhatsApp, Alex. You got Peter, who's in a nice suit, which looks very similar to one that Tobey Maguire is wearing in one of the older films. And then he suits up. Phenomenal. It's a good moment, actually. I think I've put it into this week's episode art for this episode.
You have, yeah. It's one of my favourite transitions. And again, I've got a bit of a cheeky theory on that. And it's just playing now as we speak. And the screen turns to black, doesn't it, Dan, at that point? And then we hear... The fateful words of is it Hello Peter, isn't it?
Yeah, Alfred Molina has returned.
The arms come out of the ground, and yeah, he's there with his big old grin. And yeah, I mean it's the worst kept secret in Hollywood, really. He was pretty much confirmed in a spectacular fashion, and the actors also had some vague insights into, you know, how he was excited to come back and to play that character and continue the storyline.
Yeah.
And I for one, I think, and I said it before, so in fear of repeating myself again too much, the greatest probably villain of any of the Spider-Man films. So I think he's brilliant to come back into the MCU.
Possibly one of the greatest villains of Spider-Man history ever.
Oh, yeah, no, in comics too, yeah, for sure. I mean, he was at the beginning.
I know what you mean. Alfred Molina is just... Oh, spot on. Phenomenal. But I don't think Kevin Feige was too happy about Molina revealing that he was going to be in the Spider-Man film. I don't think he was too thrilled, but, you know, it's not the first time, and I doubt it'll be the last time an actor or an actress spoils something to do with the MCU. So here we are.
Here we are.
But there's some theories going around the internet, Alex. I'll try not to get too... Okay. Pulled in. I think the fun bit about, I know it sounds ironic, but you know, we did an episode on Endgame theories where some of them actually came right, but it's such a monstrous film. But I sort of found, trying to look in some of these theories, they can be a little bit far-fetched. So I've sort of tried to pull on maybe some more realistic ones.
Okay.
Now, Sarah... one of our listeners, so I'm going to sort of put in our listeners' feedback in amongst the next few minutes.
Beautiful.
She says, Doctor Strange doesn't mess with timelines so willy-nilly. Something ain't right. So the question is Strange that's casting the spell our own? Or is it something else? Could it be... Now, I've got two. I've got Mysterio. And here he is, Alex. If anyone's been listening to our previous episodes, is it Mephisto?
Is it Mephisto indeed? And I mean, Mysterio's not dead. I think it's pretty much established at the end of the film, Far From Home, that he ain't a goner. Because, I mean, how did he do that recording so quickly, et cetera, et cetera? So it could be. I'm, though, subscribing to the Mephisto theory. And the reason being is if our good listeners, and if you want to, Dan, if you look at the official teaser trailer from the Sony Pictures YouTube, I mean, they're all around, but this one, just because it's time-stamped and they don't have all the gum for the beginning and the end, because people haven't branded it. 2 minutes and 15 seconds in, you've got a black-cladded Sorcerer Supreme, and he is dabbling in the mystic arts and overturning that train in which Peter is rolling around in. Now, the only reason why I draw attention to this particular scene, Dan, is because Strange isn't wearing his usual colourful attire. And usually in, and I think this is, I don't want to big myself up here, but I do have thoughts of me replaying this in the future. We're doing a review. In films, they tend to show good and evil as dark and light.
Yeah.
2 minutes, 15 seconds in, Benedict Cucumber Patch, he stood there on top of the train with his arms out. He's turning over the train. Spidey looks like, what the hell's going on? I think he's being attacked by Strange. Now, whether or not it's Mephisto or whether or not it's a different Strange, and of course we talk about What If, the animation show, whether this is just a darker version of a shattered reality, I don't know. But he's battling Strange there, I'm pretty confident. And I think the clothes give it away. Now, it could be another reason why they're battling together, but if you pull on the thread of Mephisto, I wonder whether it is Mephisto, because you're right, Dan. And so, Sarah, he doesn't screw with the timeline. He knows it is severe. He hasn't got the knowledge. He mentions about the multiverse. He wouldn't be dabbling.
Yeah.
So I'm probably on that. I'm on that train too.
I mean, it's got to be about time that we introduce Mephisto as one of the big bads, I'd say. I mean, he was suspected to be the villain in WandaVision, but of course that was incorrect. That role went to Catherine Hahn's Agatha Harkness.
Mm.
Now, one of the other elements that I think it could be Mephisto, possibly manipulating Strange in a way that, you know, is a little bit sinister. Is it all draws on the comics? And it was indeed with Mephisto in the storyline One More Day, which does appear to be a major influence over this film, where Peter makes a deal with Mephisto to save Aunt May's life at the cost of his marriage with Mary Jane. But I mean, of course, this is slightly different. He is going to be making a deal so the world forgets who he is. He doesn't want people to know that he's Spider-Man, because as we've learned from previous films and the comics, actually his identity puts his loved ones at risk.
Yeah, there's other high school friends. I think there's another potential love interest who meets her untimely end as one of the Sinister Six. So he does rack up the death counts throughout the comics. Again, another unpopular opinion coming up in quite a lot now, Dan. I'm not a fan of that comic run. One More Day, I mean, I read it, it's just bleak. It just gives up everything. And I get it, and I know why, and I understand it. But when I was reading, I was like, man, this is just depressing. There's very little action. There's lots of flashbacks. It feels like a filler. And sure enough, I think it was, because it ended up then setting him up then for future episode, future editions and storylines, and it was a means to an end. But I didn't like that storyline really at all. I just thought it was really depressing. And there's the whole point, you know, he's built up this relationship with MJ. She supported him through the years. You know, she's by his side in a lot of the battles towards the end of that run, because, you know, she knows who he is and she knows what he's like, and she gets him out of some tough scrapes and nurses him back to health a couple of times when he dies. So it's great. But yeah, the fact that she doesn't know who he is in the end is just, it's bleak.
Yeah. I've got a Mysterio theory, and if anyone's watching What If, I've got a little theory around that as well. So the Mysterio theory, Alex, just again, it's probably not that far-fetched, to be honest, but is it enough? No, you'll have to tell me. So Quentin Beck Mysterio is obviously, of course, the master manipulator who was able to use all of his cutting-edge illusion technology to create entire false worlds that Peter could never detect. And of course, we saw that quite often in Far From Home. You know, he essentially made an abandoned building look like a shield base. And of course, yeah, we've already said that he's not dead. He cannot be dead. Now, according to some Marvel fan theories, Quentin Beck isn't yet finished messing with Peter Parker's head. In fact, the theory goes that Mysterio's entire larger plan was to expose Peter Parker's identity in order to herd him towards some kind of larger trap, and that Peter coming to Doctor Strange is all just a setup by Mysterio. The scenes of Doctor Strange in the trailer for No Way Home are striking some fans odd, as we've just discussed. Benedict Cumberbatch's Stephen Strange seems a bit too silly and rascally than we've seen him before. Now, John Watts could just be putting his comedic spin on Doctor Strange. Or Strange is just Mysterio having found out a convenient place to hide in the Sanctum Sanctorum. Because it looks like a shambles. I mean, I think in some parts, just sort of clutching at straws. Because,
yeah, I personally think they're not going to rehash an extended Far From Home storyline. I think they're going to put Quentin Beck into a box, but put him to one side, and they're going to have a Sinister Six, if this isn't it. I don't think it is it, and I'll tell you why in a second. Feige is the thread throughout the last 12 years of MCU. I don't think the director would have that much influence or tonal change in the characters. So I agree. Something is up with Strange. Strange is acting strange, and there's something amiss. But as I said, I might be eating my hat. I don't wear them often, but I might be eating it on a special occasion because it is Quentin Beck, but I don't think it is. I think something else is amiss.
Yeah. This is probably a good place just to pop in the spoiler, Alex. So if anyone's been watching What If and they've seen this week's episode about Doctor Strange, what if he lost his heart and not his hands? It's very bleak, isn't it? But it's very good.
Yeah, it had
to have that ending.
Agreed.
Now, we know that What If is MCU canon.
Yes.
Now, we don't see that evil Doctor Strange die essentially at the end. He's sort of stuck in this sort of globe. Now, this is only a theory that I've sort of pulled on really after watching the episode.
Okay.
Has that Strange escaped, come to Earth 616 and condemned our Doctor Strange somewhere else, and it's just this guy that's just, you know, he's dabbling now.
Yeah, he's got a new lease of life because, yeah, you're right, he's left in some kind of crystal globe in the nothingness because his entire universe has imploded.
Again, that could just be me clutching at straws.
But it could be a good way to, as you say, to link it all together. As you say, it is canon. They have said that it's established within the wider MCU. So you might be on something, Dan.
Have you got any theories, Alex?
No, other than Mephisto. No, for sure. The only thing I was going to say was, as we're still on this topic of Strange, at 1 minute 32 on the trailer, you get Wong, don't you? Wong says, don't dabble with the time stone. Don't dabble with time. Be a good boy and play nice, effectively.
Yeah.
And he walks into a portal with his case in hand. That is where we then link into Shang-Chi.
Yes, because of course he's seen fighting the Abomination.
He is. So there's a nice continuation there, and it puts it firmly side by side. But I think that's the only affiliation between those two films at this current moment in time. But I thought that's quite a nice nod. It's effectively starting his entrance into that film, and a very close link there. The one thought did come to mind, though, is the Sanctum Sanctorum is covered in ice and snow. That isn't normal. I'm sure there's some wacky reason, or perhaps they just both don't mention it and just say, you know, just accept it because it's weird. But I reckon something went down. There's some kind of battle. And I think that's probably indicative of why we get this version of Strange, personally.
Yeah.
But, that's that theory, I think. And we'll just have to see what version of Strange we have in a couple of months' time.
Yeah. I also think these iterations of the villains are different. Now you're probably thinking, well, Dan, where are you going to go with this? If anyone's watched Loki, we've seen Kang's explanation of the multiverse. So each multiverse has a different me and you, for example. We're all different. They don't seem like the kind of villains that we've seen in the older films.
Yeah.
Same actors, but I don't think they're the same ones. I mean, and I'll explain. We know Willem Dafoe's Green Goblin died in Spider-Man 1. He got impaled by his own board.
Yeah.
Doc Ock, he had a redemption arc in Spider-Man 2. And, you know, of course, we know that when his tentacles are glowing white, yeah, he's good. And I'm pretty sure when he was sinking, those little white lights were white. But they're red in this trailer. He looks a little bit different. But again, we presume that he died in this, you know, saving New York. So, yeah, I've just got a feeling that, you know, that what Kang explained in Loki is kind of right. And, you know, these are just different versions of the same villain.
Yeah, and I think that's probably why Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield are kept tight-lipped on this, because actually they're not in it. And although it may be the villains, as we know, most of them are dead. Again, the body count of the Raimi films. So I'm probably with you on that one. I think they are versions, but they're not the versions that we know from the films that we've seen before. It just wouldn't make any sense. How can you explain away two very good villains coming to life, then shoehorned into the MCU as we know it? It just wouldn't happen. But then lies in the question, Dan. How do they know Peter's identity?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, another theory that I've read, so I can't say actually that I may have anything to do with this, to be fair, but I think it probably makes sense. And you made reference to it actually at the beginning, Dan, about how when Peter's on the car and he transitions into his golden suit, he's wearing, though, a grey normal suit, a civilian suit, which does look a lot like Tobey Maguire's. There's a theory that our version of Peter Parker is taking on the body of another Peter Parker. So we see Tom Holland when actually it should be in the body of a Tobey Maguire or in a...
I see what you mean.
So it's almost like Quantum Leap. Do you ever watch that 80s TV show? It's where a guy travels through time and through space and he inhabits the body of someone important and he's got to change their life in order to get them back on track. And when people see him, he just sees the person that they know. But actually inside is Scott Bakula, who's the actor. And we see him as he is. So it's all very odd. And I'm probably not explaining it properly. But to look at him, we know it's going to be our version of Peter, but the baddies don't see our version, they see their version.
Yeah.
And that's how they know it's Peter, because actually that's who they've battled. Whereas that's perhaps why our version of the MCU is puzzled as to why he's getting attacked on all sides by all these villains and how they know his identity. Well, because they're not seeing him, they're seeing their version of Peter. Now, that's an interesting one. I don't know how they'd pull that off if the previous two actors are not coming back to this, because you've got to use their likeness, it wouldn't work. And it's quite a difficult concept to get through in a very short amount of time. Quantum Leap had a gazillion series, and each episode is about 45 minutes long. And once you get into the swing of things, you know what to expect. In this film, it's quite a difficult one to get your head around. So I'm not quite sure it's quite that, but I think you're on something in terms of, I don't think it's just happenstance that he's wearing the same outfit as the original Spider-Man films.
Now, talking of Maguire and Garfield, I put some clickbaity stuff on social media this week for a bit of feedback. Do you want them to return? Do you want them in this film, Alex? Because, I mean, in my unpopular opinion, I don't. Because I just think, you know, Sony have this habit of overdoing it with some of their films. You know, when you look at Amazing Spider-Man 2 and Spider-Man 3, it was just all too much. And I just think, you know, I don't think Kevin Feige would allow that to happen. He'll probably keep them on a leash a little bit and go, look, this is too much, but this is what we're going to do.
I'm probably with you. I think it would be too much. It'd be a Spider-Man 3 all over again. It might be nice to have a glimpse. So a shattered universe at the very end. Who's that in the distance? There's two Spider-Men wearing the suits. But yeah, I don't think we need a Maguire or a Garfield in this. And sure enough, I don't think they are. There's lots of misdirection, of course, with these films, and people sign God knows what at the peril of Feige. But I genuinely don't think they're in this. And I think you're right. It'd be too much. And I don't think it's needed.
No. I've seen a couple of YouTube videos as well where people think that, you know, they've seen Tobey Maguire, but I just don't. I don't see it. Someone was saying, like, oh, this little red blur here just looks like lens flare. I think you're literally like just grasping at, you know, nostalgia. To be honest, I don't love those films enough to want it. But as I say, put some clickbaity stuff out on the socials, Alex. So first up, we got Leaning Tower of Giza, also known as Lee. He said, don't be silly, Daniel. And I know I'm in trouble, Alex, when someone uses my full name.
Yeah.
But sorry, Lee, we both don't want it. Whatevs.
Yep.
Next up, we've got Chris. He said, I'm all right with it, but only if they're almost a cameo within the film.
Yeah.
Don't want the whole story to be about three Spider-Men fighting together. Maybe some help at the end, but that's it for me.
100%.
Next up, we've got Simon. He says, I hope they do, but I feel it may make the film complicated in a way to do them justice without taking away from it being Tom Holland's film.
Yeah.
Disney and Marvel have done a great job previously to integrate storylines and giving people enough airtime without it feeling forced.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a fair point. Was it Simon that said that one?
Yes.
Yeah, I think someone's onto something. Tom Holland has done a phenomenal job at his own version, iteration of the character, right? I think we both said, correct me if I'm wrong, Dan, but I think we both agree that it's probably the closest that you'll get to the comics. Garfield's are too old. It was a little bit weird. This adult running around like a teenager in school. Didn't work. Tobey Maguire. A little bit wet, a little bit soppy, goofy. I get it. It was a good first attempt. But in hindsight, I don't think you quite nailed it. I think Tom Holland's is probably the best. Because he's a young guy anyway, right? He's athletic. He does a lot of the stunts himself. He's believable. And he's a talented actor. I'm not taking anything away from those other two, but he's talented, and I think this role is perfect for him. So to introduce the other ones, I agree with Simon. It'll take so much away from everything that he's done. I mean, he's been in, what, five films now, if not cameos? Civil War, Infinity, Endgame, two of his own. Has he been in the others?
No, I think that's it. He'll be in this one, and I think he's contracted for one more MCU film. And then, of course, I have no doubt in my mind that Sony will probably keep him on for their Spider-Verse.
Oh, yeah. So, it being five more, it's more than what any other two done. I don't think it'd be fair to bench Holland and make it about the other two. They had their time. It's about his. So, yeah, I'm with Simon on that one, 100%.
I think you make a good point about Holland as well. He does embody both Peter Parker and Spider-Man from the comics. You know, he shows that struggle between being a normal guy and being a superhero, but he has that funny wit about him, you know, especially when, you know, he's whirling around to Ant-Man's legs going, has anyone seen that film, you know, where the he's obviously talking about Empire Strikes Back, but it's funny as hell.
And even when, you know, in the same film where he's fighting Winter Soldiers, as wow, cool arm. Of course, he shouldn't be able to stop the vibranium arm from, you know, beating his skull, and he can because he's obviously very powerful. It's that naivety, but it's also the tongue-in-cheek and it's the quips. It's not rude, as perhaps in the comics he is, but it's that naivety around it, and it's a young boy playing in the big leagues, the biggest leagues you can, and he's wholly unprepared. I just didn't get that in the other films. They knew they had a responsibility, but they stepped up a bit too quick. Whereas this version, Holland's version, is he doesn't know what he's doing, and a lot of it is luck, and he is going to fuck up, and people aren't going to die, or they're going to get hurt. You know, we saw that in Infinity War when he ends up becoming dust. You know, he's in Tony Stark's arms, which is one of the most harrowing things I think we've seen in the last couple of years. Well, not in the last 18 months, other things have happened, but I mean, in the MCU, the MCU world, it's one of the most harrowing scenes. And he's a boy. But in the other films, these are bona fide adults. And yeah, I think this is the strongest version that we will have, I think, for a while with Holland.
Yeah. Last up, we got Brad from Strong Island Recordings, one of our regulars.
Shout out to Brad.
Hurry up and get on the show, mate. We want to talk to you about your record label. I think it'll be a good episode. We have some good convos on Twitter, Brad. Anyway, I digress. He says, I reckon as long as they don't overshadow the whole plot, I'm for. I reckon the end will be Holland Spider-Man trapped in another universe of theirs, maybe at the end, echoing No Way Home, with Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, directed by Raimi of Maguire's Spider-Man, trying to find him.
Oh, no. Brad, no. That's a nightmare. I mean, it's a hideous concept, so I like where he's going with that one, but Maguire?
Oof.
No. That turns my stomach. Maybe I shouldn't have eaten so soon before recording. It's an interesting storyline, for sure, but I just refer back to Simon's previous comment, Brad. But I think you might be on something in terms of the bleakness, because perhaps our version of Strange is either hunting around the multiverse for our Spider-Man, or he's being committed to the multiverse. He's got to find his way out, and Scarlet Witch goes to save him. I don't know. There's something in there. I think Brad's on something. I just hope it's not. No offense, Brad, but I hope it's not your version. I don't think anyone wants to see that.
I'd say it's an interesting concept, but I honestly think this is all heading towards Secret Wars. I mean, when we get that, I don't know. I think it could be a few years away yet, because, you know, you're still telling stories. You know, we've got a Captain America 4 confirmed now with Sam Wilson.
Yep.
We've got, it's a jam-packed roster. You know, we've got
Eternals. Christmas?
That's November.
So you've got Eternals.
You've got Spider-Man, which is released on, after my tablet decides to close on me. Sorry, folks. Let's go back in. Which is the 17th of December.
Yeah.
So not long to wait on that one. We've got Shang-Chi. Thor, Love and Thunder. Yeah. Wakanda Forever.
Ant-Man.
And
April, Spring.
Yeah.
22.
We've got Hawkeye coming out later on this year. We've got Miss Marvel on Disney Plus as well. Yeah, there's jam-packed. We've got a lot going on.
I was thinking, Dan, actually, there is another theory. And it may not be Doom behind, you know, the storyline, whereas it was in the comics where he takes people to this battle planet to fight it out. But if they did take our version of Spider-Man out of the equation in this film, we physically wouldn't miss him until that big Avengers film came out. Because as you say, a lot of them are either in space or at ground level.
Mm.
There's not another Spider-Man where he would naturally appear in any of those films, really. So if something does happen to the character in this film, and he, you know, a bit like a Hulk moment, right? So the end of Ultron, he's in the Quinjet and we don't know where he goes. Well, we find out he ends up going to space, which is a bit odd. We could have ourselves another Hulk. He's taken out the equation for all of those three or four films since. And it doesn't obviously then turn up until much later. Mm. There is that theory that could happen too. And he's been taken to, is it Battleworld it's called?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He could be taken to Battleworld. So that's something else I'm going to throw in there at the very final minutes in the last hour, but that could be the beginnings of that storyline too, Dan. And at each film, they could be plucked away, whisked away off planet Earth to God knows where. And then we find out in the Avengers film.
Yeah.
And that'd
That's
be cool.
A great theory.
That'd be a blinder, right? But because that'd be like, where are they going? And who's going to go? And how's this one going to end up? That'd be very cool.
Yeah. I mean, if people want a good comic book read, they say you can get Marvel Unlimited free for a month. I don't get paid, nor am I endorsed to say this, by the way.
Nope.
Go dive in. You know, it's free for a month. Get all your comic books in and read Secret Wars from 2015. It's a belter, and there's so many tie-ins as well. So go check that out. But Alex, that wraps up this episode. Next episode, we'll be back for disappointing finales and endings in TVs and film.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably a roster and a summary of the last 3 years we've been doing this, because we talked about, yeah. I found as I was writing my notes, a lot of these are actually, we talk about an awful lot. They have a thread throughout the podcast, but I make no apologies and need you, Dan, for mentioning it. So yeah, there's a lot. I'm not going to tease it because I think it's going to be a really good episode and there'll be lots of swearing, but I've got a couple of curveballs in there actually, Dan, that, I don't think you would anticipate. So we have, as per usual fashion, we haven't shared them. We know kind of the numbers that we talked about, but don't know the details. So I'm looking forward to talking through mine. But yeah, a couple of films and a couple of TV shows that are absolutely shite at the end. You invest all that time. You love those characters. You're with them on a journey. Just be let down at the very last moment. What is that all about?
One of my choices annoyed a lot of people on social media, so ooh, got a bit of stick. I'm pretty sure someone told me to F off.
Yes, I read that. Yeah, I recall.
Fair enough.
And you know, it is an emotive subject, but I think you're well within your rights, Dan, personally. So make no apologies.
No. Do you know what? Fair enough. But if you want to get in touch, you've still got a bit of time to get involved in this episode. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at On The Topic Pod. And in all of those, social links are to our anchor. We want to hear your voice. If you want to get involved, we always put a link to anchor.
Oh, yes.
So click that link, accept yes to speak to us through your microphone on your phone, and we'll plug you in. Be a part of the show like some of our previous listeners have done in the past. Just, you know, if you're going to get angry, just give us a bit of a heads up first. We had some angry ones for our previous episodes, didn't we, Alex?
We did.
Terrifying. I got condemned to the sea. Still not there yet.
No, but the concrete blocks are being fitted for your feet this week, I believe. And you're going to be walking the plank. So,
you're not putting me into the vault. You're literally just going to chuck me straight in.
Yeah, we ran out of vaults. We filled that one up quite a lot. We'll put a link in the description below. But yeah, a lot grinded your gears, guys. And let's just say that we ran out of a lot of space in those vaults. We're not made of money. We do this for love. We're not sponsored. We can't afford all that metal work. So, Dan, I can only afford some cement. So,
okay,
you're going down in a cheap fashion.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, well, for another week, Alex, I'm just going to web sling out of here before you get those concrete blocks on my feet. I'm Dan.
And I'm going to be waving my arms around and summoning the dark mystic arts. I'm Alex.
And we'll see you next time.
Hello, Peter.